We're going to look at a real familiar section of Scripture. Today, and this is one that I know all of you are familiar with this story that Jesus told. It's one of the most familiar stories he tells. And it's one that probably we need to repeat more often than we do. Sometimes I think about how many times Jesus probably told this story. Because he went around and told these parables as he taught the people as they went to different places. So it's not like, you know, we read the Bible and it's in there once and the disciples heard it once. But they heard this story over and over again. And sometimes I wonder how many times they actually told this story in their lifetime over and over again. And then they recorded it in the Bible so we could read it over and over again. And it has great deep meaning in it. But it starts off with that very, very familiar verse that you're all familiar with, where Jesus tells us we're supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves. And by doing that, we really become more like Jesus, because that's who he was. He was a person who cared more about us than he did about himself. Actually, the Bible tells us that he cared more about the most rebellious of us, the most sinful of us. That's who he came and gave his life for on that cross, hoping that the worst of sinners, which Paul called himself, could see his grace and turn his heart to Christ and let that blood of Jesus not just wipe away his sins and the punishment that would come from them, but to cleanse his heart and make him someone new. And when you think about the Apostle Paul, who was so rebellious against God's plan of salvation, that he actually had dedicated his life to hunting down and exterminating everyone who followed Jesus and would call him the Christ. I would say that is being against God. And yet now when we read in the Bible, he's the very person that God chose to illuminate the full plan of what Jesus did. Most of the New Testament he wrote. The missionary journeys that actually brought Christianity to the Gentiles, which is almost all of us, came through Paul. He was the head person that followed. And he started seeing people like this. And that's really what this verse is talking about. When you look at someone else, do you see yourself and think about what you would be like in those circumstances? And how you would want someone to reach out and help you if you were in those circumstances. Now, the guy who's in this shape may not know what he needs, and he may want something other than what he should be given. And if he was in a different place, he might look at himself and say, you know, I need a helping hand up, not a hand out. But sometimes you need both, don't you? And the question is when we look at people, do we see them like we see ourselves? Do we react to them the way we would want someone to react to us? I love this picture. You've got this lady who is obviously having a difficult time, and she's brought to tears by a man who comes by and simply gives her his sandals. And you look at that and you think, well, that's really just a little bitty act. You know, you can buy those flip-flops at Walmart for $1.88. It's not like that is really a life-changing gift. But it can be a life-changing gift. Because Jesus does not tell us that we are supposed to carry people. That's his job. Each person is supposed to find the way to carry their own burden with the help of God. We're supposed to help carry their burdens, but we're not supposed to carry them. We're not supposed to hand things to people so that they look to us as their Savior. We need to help them to find Christ as their Savior, and they stand on their own. But how many of you know sometimes a little act of kindness, a little gift, and sometimes it's a much bigger gift than that, But sometimes just an act that says, I see you, I care, I can't solve your problems. I'm not your solution. But God is your solution, and he has helped me to see how to follow him through my problems. And I see you because he sees you. I love you because he loves you. And I want to help how I can. And so I give you a little something, but it's the spirit in which I give it, the spirit of Christ, that is that great help, the spirit of hope. Jesus says, whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of this disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. I think Jesus purposely picked a cup of cold water to give this illustration. Now, sometimes he gave much more than that. To one family, he gave the life of their daughter. What more precious gift could you have than that? There's a lot of things that could be given, but I think what Jesus is saying this, don't overlook the little. It's the little things that we do that can make a big difference in people's lives. And a cup of cold water actually costs you what? Nothing but time. We can all turn on a faucet and we can fill a cup up and hand a cup to someone, and all it did was cost us a little time to stop thinking of our agenda and to realize somebody needed a little help and to give them what we have and what they need, irregardless of how much that is. But the main thing is you got to take it to the streets. Love doesn't do any good if it's just in our hearts. And I know I have been very guilty at times of feeling tremendous love for someone and wanting to reach out and tell them what was in my heart, to encourage them and tell them how much that they meant to me. I have had times where I laid at bed at night and I thought of a whole speech that sometimes would take 30 minutes as I expressed my love to someone and then never told them. How many of you have done that? How many of you have had people in your lives that you cared so much about that you wanted to communicate to them, but you know, unfortunately, they were never in your bedroom at night while you were having those thoughts? Some of us wish at times that we would have those thoughts at the right time and the right place to convey them. I think what Jesus is saying is you got to make the time. You got to make the time. You have to love God and you have to love people. Now, this story starts off in Luke 10, 25 like this. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? What do you read in the Bible? How do you read it? And the man answered, he said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now he's quoting from the Old Testament Shema, which was a prayer that every Jew would know. And so he's answered that according to what their religion says. And Jesus says, you're right. Do this and you will live. Man, why do you have to say that part? Why couldn't he just say, know this and you've got it? Just meditate on that and you've got it. He says, do this and you've got it. How do you do that? How do you love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind? Break that down sometime and just think about that. What does it mean to love God with all my mind? Some of us have a difficult time loving God for 30 minutes in a service that's focused on him. I hate to admit, I've had times like that. I can think of many times when I was younger and I sat in a service like this and I never once really thought about the purpose of the service or what was going on. I was thinking about what I was going to do during the week or what happened last week. How do you love God with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your soul, with all your heart? How do you love your neighbor as yourself? Well, the man obviously thought about it a little because in this verse he says, to justify his actions, and who is my neighbor? Let's get specific about this. What exactly do I have to do? And Jesus started with this very familiar story that has been told over and over again. And he replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling on a trip from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and left him half dead beside the road. And by chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. That's interesting, isn't it? You've got a priest, and he comes by, and he sees the guy lying there, and he just passes on by. He doesn't have time to stop. He's got too much stuff to do. He sees there's a need there. It probably enters his mind for a second, that guy might need help. But he's got a lot going on his agenda, and it's important, and so he just walks right on by. He doesn't see his neighbor as himself. I'm sure if he was lying in the ditch, and he saw someone walking by, he wouldn't look up there and say, oh, wow, that guy looks like he's got a lot on his agenda today. Hope the next guy comes and helps me. He probably would say, stop, help me, help me. But this guy has got too much going. And you know, sometimes we look at it and we say there are people who look at others, but they're so self-centered that they don't care. And there are people like that. But that's not probably most of us. Most of us are just too busy. And it strikes on us, you know, maybe I should take a little look, maybe I should go over there and help or whatever, but we resist that temptation to help and we move on and we forget about it as we go. And sometimes we've got other really good things. When I read this verse this morning again, I don't know why, but it popped up to my mind our trip to Uganda. And we went to Uganda and we had prayed and we had prepared and they took us to show us the orphanage that they were working with and the people that we were going to be touching. And we were on this bus ride and we were all excited and we were prayerful about our reaching out and touching the people of Uganda. And we were so excited about what was happening. And we were riding home in a bus. Everyone on that bus had come to serve Christ in Uganda. We had prayed about putting others first, not ourselves first. And we were sitting on that bus, and there was crowds of people on the outside, and we were talking about the mission. And one person in that bus was looking out the window at others. We were looking out the window, and we were seeing them, but we didn't see them. And Dan, right in the middle of what we were doing, said, hey, I think that lady is in trouble. And we were like, what? And he goes, that lady right over there, look at her face. She's got that baby and she looks agitated. She looks like she's in big trouble. Well, there's a crowd of people there. And it took us a while, some of us, to even see her. And then he goes, I think we need to help her. And it was like, you know, you're breaking our train of thought here. And then he told Makumbi, he says, go out there and ask her if she needs some help. And he goes, and he got up and he went out there. And next thing you know, he brought her back on the bus. And she had been dropped off and didn't have taxi fare back. And the person who was going to pick her up apparently didn't show up. And it was getting late at night and she was about 15 miles away with a baby. And we gave her a ride. And we talked to her about Christ. And let me tell you something. It didn't cost us a cent. It didn't cost us another penny of gas. We were driving that bus, whether she was on it or not. It didn't cost us anything other than our time. We stopped having fun with the excitement that we had about what God was going to do. And we took a little time to actually do what God wanted us to do. But we could have missed it. We could have drove right on by. As a matter of fact, you had a whole busload of people who had paid a lot of money to go over there to help people, who were all excited about it and praying about it, and only one of us saw that lady. And I think it kind of set the tone, because that was one of the first things that happened. And it kind of set the tone telling us, hey, we don't need to talk about it. We need to do it. We just need to do it. We can't pass by. And then a temple assistant walked over. And he looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Now, this is a little different. This guy doesn't come by and glance and see that and go, I don't have time to stop with this, or Lord help him with the next guy, or whatever. But this guy stops, and he goes over and he examines the situation. And I know some of us have done that. I've done that too. I've had times where I walked over and I looked at somebody who was in a lot of trouble, and you know what I realized? This is way over my head. I don't have the resources. I don't have the wisdom. I don't know how I can be of any help if I get involved in this thing. This is over my head. I can't help. I don't know what to do. I just hope that somebody else can come around and help him. You need professional help. How many of you have ever been in a situation like that? It's over our heads, but it's not over God's head. And we are not the solution to anyone's problem. We're a tool that God can use to be the solution for his problem, but we are not his only tool. And he may only have a small part for us, but our part is important. And sometimes our part, just like that man taking those $1.88 flip-flops off his feet and handing them to another lady, sometimes that part can have an enormous impact. Sometimes it takes more, like this situation. Putting a pair of sandals on this man's feet and leaving would not be enough, would it? He needs a little more help, but he needs some help. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. And going over to the Samaritan, he soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. And then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to the inn where he took care of him. And the next day he handed him to the innkeeper. He said, look, I got a life I've got to live. There's, you know, God's got things for me to do. I stopped and helped, but I can't help anymore. Here's 2 silver coins telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time that I am here. That's all I can do. I'm turning it over to you, but I'm trying to help as I can. Now, which of these 3, Jesus said, was the neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits? And of course, the man replied, the one who showed him mercy. Then Jesus said, yes, now go and do the same. It's about loving God and loving people, but you have to do something about it or it's meaningless. 1 John 3:18 says, my children, we should love people not only with words and talk, but our actions and true caring. Well, we got a chance as school starts to do a little something for some kids in need. Some kids that are going to be going to school that if someone doesn't help them, it's going to be obvious when they walk in that room that they do not have the same thing as everyone else in the room. And so we're going to partner with Samaritan Center like we always do, and we're going to provide the same type of school supplies that every kid whose parents are well off are going to have in that classroom, so that when they sit down at that desk, there's no difference between them and the kids sitting in the desk next to them. Some of you saw this picture. We got this one from them the first year that we did this. They sent it back of this lady, and it looked like her 4 children. This is a single mom who's got these 4 children, but if you look closely, she's got these other 2 boys. So it's a single mom with 6 kids. It really doesn't matter where she got these kids. It really doesn't matter what her situation was coming up to you. What the situation is this. You got 3 kids, you got a single mom, you got no men in the picture, and you got school starting up. That's the situation. And what little thing can we do? What little thing can we do to help? Well, we can say I care by at least giving a hand and letting them see the place where love and help comes from. It comes from Christ, and it comes from Christians who love and give back the love Christ gave them. And so we're going to let you be God's helping hands of love today, as we do a little community outreach. We love your neighbor, and it's not just a helping hand, but it's the spirit that goes with us. And Sean has told you twice about how Samaritan Center, this has become their favorite project. And the reason is because it's not just a helping hand, but it's the letters that are written with it. So we're going to go into the gym. This year it'll be a little different. Instead of you having to go get all the stuff, they're all on one table, so you won't have to go anywhere. We can do it a lot more efficiently, a lot quicker. The stuff's right there to pack in those backpacks. There'll be letters that you can write. And this is just kind of an example of the letter that you might write. A kid might write one a lot shorter. There are a couple examples beyond your table. This one says, "Dear friend, we're very excited about the opportunities that you are going to have this year at school, and we wanted to invest in your future, just to be a little part of the great adventure that God has planned for your life by providing you with a backpack and some school supplies. You and your future are worth investing in because God made you just the way you are, because he has a wonderful purpose for you that only you are perfectly made to accomplish. God loves you very much, and this world needs you and the gifts that God gave you to bring to it. God has put his love in you, in our hearts, love for you in our hearts, and even though you don't know us, we wanted to express that love to you because we care and want the best for you. This year, you'll learn and develop skills that'll help make the dreams that God gives you possible. We're praying that you will find God's will for your life and to grow to find his love, peace, and joy in everything you do and everywhere you go. With love," sign those people. Now, this one, obviously, we go to a high school student. We've got elementary, middle, and high school. And so we'll walk out there, and we've already shopped and gotten all of the stuff. That's a picture from last year. We should have took one this year, but we didn't. But at this time right here, the church is going to leave this building, and we're going to walk over to the other, and we're going to let you fill those backpacks, write those letters, just from your heart, what you would want to say. And then we're going to seal them up in there, and we're going to give a little bit of God's love to those kids. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for all you've given us. And we know what we're giving is not much. But we know that the spirit in which we give it can bring hope. It can give faith. It can turn eyes in your direction. It can open up a world of walking with you instead of being angry or pushing you away. It can be something that says God cares. And so we ask you, with every letter that we put in these boxes, that you will speak and touch. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Well, guys, we can kind of file through this, and the tables are all set and ready for us.